Acts chapter number 8, if you have your Bible there, this is verses 26 to 38. This is our last lesson in this series that we've been going through now on portraits of grace. This is lesson 10. This is a 10-week series. And so next Sunday, we'll begin a new series of lessons. And so we'll talk about that when we get to it. But it's been a great series. Of course, we started this series when we were back meeting together. And now we're still meeting in this online format. Today's lesson is about a man by the name of Philip. And the theme of the lesson is grace to witness. Grace to witness. Acts chapter number 8, the Bible says in verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went." We're going to stop right there, and we're going to continue going through this passage after we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in church today. Thank you that this is the Lord's Day. Thank you that we have the freedom to be able to have an online ministry like this. And we just want to praise you and thank you for what you're doing here at Anchor Baptist Church and yet around the world as well. Lord, send a revival and let it begin in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Philip, grace to witness. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter number 3, in verse number 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, you probably have read that verse of Scripture. I know if you're from Anchor Baptist Church, you've heard me mention that verse over and over and over and over again. But I want to emphasize two words in that verse as we jump into this passage in Acts, and that is the word "any," and then the next one is the word "all." 2 Peter 3:9, "not willing that any," we're going to emphasize, and thinking about that word "any," "should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Any and all. That is two key words as we consider Acts chapter number 8 and the Bible lesson about being a witness. This truth is showcased in this text, that any and all. This is right at the beginning of the establishment of the local New Testament church. And by the way, aren't you thankful for the local New Testament church? Aren't you thankful for, in this case, I'm speaking about the Anchor Baptist Church. That is the local called out assembly of born-again baptized believers here in Burnaby, B.C., and I hope you, each of you, are a part of a local New Testament Bible preaching church, regardless of where you're listening from today. Well, that's what we find here in Acts chapter number 8, that the local New Testament church of Jerusalem is booming. They are seeing revival. You can read about that in the previous verses in Acts chapter number 8 from what we read about. In fact, in verse number 5, the Bible says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." And many were getting saved there in Samaria. And then it would spread over into other cities as well. And as many people got saved, if you have your Bible open to Acts 8, look what it says in verse number 8. Verse number 8. "And there was great," what? "Joy in that city." Circle that word, joy. There was great joy. You know what I know? I know this. Jesus brings joy to the life of an individual. Jesus brings joy to a family. Jesus always brings joy to a church, to a city. And in this case, the Bible says that the preaching of Jesus Christ, people got saved, and when they got saved, they got joy. Think about joy. Brother Charles was saying just a moment ago about if you've got Jesus in your heart, I thought he was going to break into, "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart," or something like that. Yes, when we have Jesus, we will have joy. And that's what they had here in Philip's day. And notice in verse 12, "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." I said earlier, Jerusalem, my bad. It was Samaria in this case, where the preaching was going forth and people were getting saved. Joy was coming into the city, not just the church. Did you see that? That there was joy in the city. Can you picture that wherever you are right now? I hope you've let us know where you're listening from. Can you imagine if the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ were to make such an impact that in your city, it would be characterized as a city of joy. Now, let's think about joy for just a minute. We're going to get into the lesson, and hopefully we'll get through it. But joy is not something that everyone can have. You know why? Here's why. Joy is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. The fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. So no one can have joy apart from Jesus Christ, apart from being saved. You can be happy. A lot of people are happy. A lot of people are happy when they have a lot of money. You know what? We can have joy with no money. Why? Because that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so if you're saved, you can have joy. Right now, 2020, May 3rd, you as a child of God can be filled with joy. Well, that's what happened. This city was full of joy. Why? Because of the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that brings us now to the text of Scripture that we read just a few moments ago as we began to read it in verse number 26. And if you have your book there and you're taking notes, we're going to begin with our outline now. So number one, in verse number 26, we see a message in the desert. A message in the desert. In verse 26, we read that an angel of the Lord sent Philip to the desert. Now, let's get this straight. He sent Philip. Now, Philip was in Jerusalem at the time, by the way, and I think that's where I got mixed up a little bit in what I said a moment ago. So I was kind of not right, but I was kind of right at the same time because he was in Jerusalem. And Philip was told by the angel, okay, I want you to take the message and I want you to go to the desert, to the desert. What a mission. Now, I don't know why God chose Philip, but there's a good chance that God chose Philip because he knew Philip would obey. Look at the first words of 27. And he arose and went. And he arose and went. Philip was a servant leader who had already shown himself to be spiritually minded and willing to care for the needs of others. Letter A is to a deacon. To a deacon. So number one, a message in the desert. Letter A, to a deacon. Philip was one of the first seven men chosen in Acts chapter 7. We won't read him for time, but you'll see his name in the list of names in verse number 5. Acts 7, verse 5, you see, and Philip, and Philip. Now, Philip was already chosen to be a leader within the church, and so now we fast forward ahead, and so here's someone who was already dependable. Here's someone who was already trustworthy. Here's somebody who was already a servant. And so it was very natural, if you will, that Philip would be chosen to take a very important message into the desert. Now, I want you to think about it today. What is your profession? What do you do for a living? What is it that you went to college for, university for? What is it you took extra training to do? I don't know what your profession is or what it is that you do for a living. But that is not what should define you. That is not what should define me. In other words, okay, let's say this. Let's say maybe you're a mechanic and you say, I'm just a mechanic. No, you're not just a mechanic. Maybe you are in finance and you say, I'm just a CPA. No, you're not just a CPA. We have some of those, okay? And I'm just a doctor. I'm just a whatever. No, our profession, here's something to think about. Our profession in life should not take us away from our mission from Christ. Would you think about that statement? I've written it down in my notebook here. Our profession in life should not take us away from our mission from Christ. What is our mission from Christ as believers? We call it the Great Commission. All of us have been commissioned to go with the gospel. All of us have been commissioned to take the good news of the message of salvation. So whatever your profession is, you're a caretaker, or maybe you're a nurse, or maybe you're a nanny, or maybe you're fill in the blank. No, don't say, I'm just this or I'm just that. No, that's your profession, yes, but that's not what defines us as Christians. What should define us as Christians is that we have a mission of life. Our primary mission, our primary objective is to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read about that in Matthew chapter number 28. But think about this now. God could have sent an angel to tell this individual in the desert about Jesus Christ. But God didn't do that. God chose Philip. Philip, a servant. God chose Philip, a man of God. God chose Philip, Philip filled with the Holy Ghost. God chose Philip, an obedient man, willing to do what God had done. God had asked him to do. Now, he wasn't perfect. He wasn't sinless. There isn't anybody like that. But God chose Philip to go with a message. And so Philip had a message from the Lord. Letter B, with a direction. With a direction. So not only did he go, the message was given to a deacon, but it was with a direction. In other words, you're going to a specific place. Arise, verse 26, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert. So God sent Philip to a rough place. God sent Philip to a dry place. God sent Philip to a needy place. And that's the most important thing. By the way, I don't know of anywhere in the world that doesn't need the gospel. I don't know of anywhere in the world that doesn't need Philip's preaching to them. I don't know that there's any place in the world that doesn't need someone with compassion to go. Maybe it's your neighborhood. Maybe it's your city. Maybe it's your province. Maybe it's your place of employment, the place where you live, the city, the state, the country, whatever. They need to know that there's joy that comes in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But it isn't always an easy place to take the message. Philip was in the city. Philip was around a lot of people. And the angel of God told Philip, okay, I want you to go to a desert. Again, think about it, a desert. A desert isn't a place where normally you're going to find all kinds of people. A desert isn't a place where you're going to be able to run into one person after another. You may only see one person. Well, remember, God is not willing that, what are the two words we're remembering? Any should perish, but that all, any and all, any and all. Remember those two words. Those are key words, 2 Peter 3:9. God is not willing that any. And so the angel of the Lord told Philip, I want you to go to this desert. It's dry. It's maybe rough. It's not what you would think God would send Philip to in the middle of something that was going on in Jerusalem, Samaria there, a revival, but yet God sent him there. You see, if we follow God's will only when it seems convenient, then we will never see the great things that God wants to do in and through us. Don't sit around waiting for convenience. You know, we have stores today, and what are they called? Convenience stores. You know why they're called that? Because you can go in and you can find what you need quickly. Well, you used to be able to do that. I don't even know if you can go into a convenience store. It's not even convenient to go into a convenience store. Actually, 7-Eleven over here, I haven't had to wait outside yet to go in there. So, hey, thank heaven for 7-Eleven, right? Just gave them a free plug right there. But you know what? Convenience. You know, I'm going to serve God when it's convenient. Hey, I'm going to go to church when it's convenient. You know what? I hope, and I'm going to say this, and I hope it comes from a right attitude. I hope there's a lot of people listening right now. I hope there's a lot of people listening right now, wherever you're from, that you had an attitude of, I'm going to go to church when it's convenient. I'm going to ask for Sundays off when it's convenient. I'm going to put my foot down and tell my boss I can't work on Sundays. Look, we have been out of the church assembling together for 8 weeks, and it's going to continue for a little bit longer. I don't know what little bit means, but I tell you what, this is no place for convenient Christianity. We need some Christianity like Philip, that when God says, go to the desert, yes, sir. When God says, go over here, yes, sir, I'm going over there. What's over there? I don't know. God told me to go over there. That's what Philip did. He arose, went. You know what I see in Philip? No questions asked. Just obedience. Oh, if I could only be more like Philip. Just obey God when God tells me to do something. David Livingstone today is known as one of the greatest missionary explorers to Africa. For many years, he had no contact with anyone outside of Africa. There was once a missionary society that wrote to him asking, quote, have you found a good road to where you are? If so, we want to know how to send other men to join you, end quote. Maybe you've heard this before. David Livingstone responded, quote, if you have men who will only come if they know there is a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there is no road at all. Wow, what a statement. What a statement from David Livingstone. God saw someone in Jerusalem by the name of Philip who was already faithful, and he could trust him to deliver the message. Number one, a message in the desert. Number two, a man is the blank there. A man in the desert. As the great revival was taking place in Samaria, there was a man traveling across the desert trying to understand who God was. Isn't that something? Trying to understand who God was. Notice verse 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Here's one specific man in the desert, and we're going to find that this man was actually studying the Bible. Look at verse 28. He was reading the book of Isaiah. So here is one man in a chariot reading the Word of God. He has been to worship. He's reading the Word of God. And we know already, because we've read the verses before, but maybe this is the first time you've read these verses, he has questions. He doesn't understand everything that he's reading, but he's reading it. And by the way, the best advice you can give for someone who is seeking the Lord is to read the Word of God. Why? Because this is the book that changes lives. This is the book that is alive. This is the book that brings conviction. This is the book that brings faith. He's reading the book of Isaiah. Letter A, we see a man seen by God. And by the way, God sees all. God saw this man who was searching the Scriptures. What an amazing, loving God. Remember the two words? What were the two words, class, from 2 Peter 3:9? They are any and all. That means one Ethiopian eunuch God was concerned about. God saw this man reading the Word of God. God loved the Ethiopian eunuch as much as God loves the entire world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. A man seen of God. By sending Philip, God was fulfilling a promise. He was fulfilling a promise. This book is, by the way, filled with promises for you and promises for me. One of those promises is in Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. Would you quickly turn over there? It might be in the student book if you are from Anchor Baptist and you have the student book. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29 in verse number 13. See what it says. All right. Jeremiah 29, 13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall, what? Search for me with all your heart. So was the Ethiopian eunuch searching for God? Yes or no? Yes, he was. Was the Ethiopian eunuch doing his part of this promise? Yes, he was. So there was a promise God made to the Ethiopian eunuch, and that was this: if you search for me, you're going to find me. Notice that. If you search for me, you're going to find me. How about in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7? What does it say there? It says, seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. I reversed all those around. You understand, most of you know that verse of Scripture. The point is this: God saw the Ethiopian eunuch with the pages of Scripture open, and he was reading in the book of Isaiah. He was searching for what God had for him. He didn't understand everything that he was reading. He didn't understand the principles found in the Word of God. But God was watching. God saw him. So he saw a man there in letter A man seen by God. Letter B, we see, and I've kind of already given you this partway through, but let's just give it a little bit more detail. A man searching for truth. A man, the blank is searching for truth. Look at verse number 28, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. A man searching for truth. What was this man reading? All right, let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. If you have your Bibles, let's turn over there. Isaiah chapter 53. The prophet here writing. This is what this man is reading. In verse number 4, the Bible says, Isaiah 53, 4, the Bible says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Here the Ethiopian eunuch was reading about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now many of us know this already, but you have to understand, the Ethiopian eunuch doesn't have the advantage of what we have today, in the sense of he doesn't have the full word of God. Now, he does have this passage of scripture that we just read right now, but he needed someone to guide him. He needed someone to explain it to him. How shall they hear without a preacher? Romans chapter number 10, we read about that. Perhaps the Ethiopian eunuch wondered why this servant would be treated in this way. Again, he doesn't have someone to explain it to him. He's searching for answers. He is searching for truth. And right as he's reading these verses of Scripture, because again, God is always on time. In our estimation, God is seldom early. He's never late. He's always on time. Now, we don't always think about it quite like that. We look at our watch and wonder, where is God in this? We wonder, how come God hasn't done this yet? Or how come God has, God, if God is God, why, you know. And so God is watching. Remember, God saw the man, and right at the time, and he's reading this passage, here comes Philip, the man of God. Here comes Philip, the surrendered one. Here comes Philip, the servant of the Lord. This man in the desert, this Ethiopian eunuch, lost and confused, but God saw him. You know what? I believe there are men and women today that in the last 2 months, God has shaken them a little bit. I'm talking about the lost world right now. I know he's done that to his own as well. The Christians like myself and you, hopefully we have been awoken a little bit or woken up a little bit. And yet I believe God is speaking to the lost today. I believe God is like this man. There are people like this man in cities all over Canada, in cities here, in cities around the lower mainland. We're in Burnaby right now, broadcasting, and you're wherever you are. And there's people that are seeking help. They're seeking for answers. And I believe, yes, even in the world in which we live today, there are people seeking the Lord. They don't know, understand. And like he said, how can I? Except some man should guide me. God knew he was seeking. So God sent a messenger by the name of Philip. Number one, we see a message in the desert. Number two, we see a man in the desert. That man was the Ethiopian eunuch. Remember, any and all. Not willing that any, but that all should come to repentance. Number three, a ministry in the desert. A ministry in the desert. The desert is the last place you would expect something beautiful to bloom. Yet often God performs what we least expect in the most surprising places. Wherever the water of the word is flowing, it doesn't matter how dry the ground are, God can raise up something. Here is a man in the desert. Here is a man who was religious. Here is a man of prestige. He was a man under authority, the Bible said, of Candace, queen of Ethiopians, and he was the treasurer in verse 27. Again, this is somebody with some means. This is somebody with some importance. And yet, God raised up something in the middle of the desert. And why? And how did God do this? This was a ministry of a spirit-led individual. Might God challenge you? Might God challenge us today to live spirit-filled lives? What does that mean? Controlled by the Spirit of God. Not controlled by the flesh. Not controlled by the world. Not controlled by the devil, of course. But controlled by the Spirit of God. Letter A. We see the Bible has a ministry in the desert. Letter A. For the Spirit-led. The Spirit-led. Who was it that directed Philip to go into the desert? who was it that directed Philip to go to the chariot? Verse 29. Then the who, class? Spirit. So the angel of God told Philip to go down there, and Philip goes down there. And when Philip gets down there, he obeys God. And Philip gets down there, the Holy Spirit of God says, hey, Philip, go over there to that chariot. Go over there to that chariot. That's where you need to be. This is who. This is the any and this is the all that you've come to this desert for. You've left the revival place to come here for this man in the desert. It's a ministry of the Spirit led. God used Philip because Philip was willing. Are you willing today to follow the leading of the Lord in your life? Oh, I trust that you are. It's quite simple, isn't it? If we would be willing to obey where God wants us to go, if we would be willing today to follow the leading of the Lord, this is the only way. This is the only way that we're going to see the will of God accomplished in our life is if we're willing to follow the leading of the Lord. You know, we've got to follow the leading of the Lord as an individual and as a church. Think about it right now. We have got to be led of the Lord in what we do. We have got to be led of the Lord in the upcoming weeks and months and the 2020 and onward and led of the Lord. I wrote this down. The Holy Spirit opened the way for Philip and for the eunuch. You see, the Holy Spirit's working on both ends. Isn't that something? I don't know if you've ever had this happen, but I've had this happen in my life, and I'm not special. You could have this happen. Anybody can have this happen that knows the Lord, and that is this, that when you meet someone and you share the gospel with them or you invite them to church, it could be somebody that's even already saved, but in this case, it was somebody that was lost, and then they say something like this. They say, oh, you know what? I was just praying about that last night. Or you know what? I was just thinking about getting back into church. Or you know what? Somebody just died in my family, and so I was thinking about eternity and blah, blah, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, what's happened? What is that saying? That's saying this. The Holy Spirit of God was already working in the individual, and then when the Holy Spirit of God began to work in my heart and brought the two together, just like here in the desert, the Holy Spirit working on the eunuch, Holy Spirit working in Philip, and you know what? Great things happen as the Holy Spirit of God is working and we yield to the Holy Spirit. That's what this Ethiopian eunuch, I don't even know if the Ethiopian eunuch understood. He was being led by the Spirit of God. Philip was being led by the Spirit of God. What an amazing story. The ministry in the desert, letter A, for the Spirit led. Go over to Galatians chapter 5. Look over to Galatians chapter 5. This is a verse of Scripture that you need to mark in your Bible if you haven't already. It is so important to live our daily lives in the control of the Spirit of God. Notice Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16. The Bible says, verse 16 of Galatians 5, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You know what I can surmise by that verse? If I'm not walking in the Spirit, then there's a good chance I will fulfill the lust of the flesh. So I have a choice to make. I'm going to either walk in the Spirit or I'm going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. As a believer, I hope that it is your desire to live a Spirit-led life. A Spirit-led life. Letter A, it was for the Spirit-led. Letter B, it was for the sensitive. It was for the sensitive. Philip, here's the key. Philip wanted to obey God immediately. Would you look at a couple of words with me that we've read already? And let's make emphasis now. Verse 27, "And he arose and went." Would you underline that phrase? He arose and went. Notice the sensitivity of obedience in Philip's life. He obeyed immediately. He arose and went. But how about this one? Look at verse number 30. And Philip, what's the next word? And Philip what? Ran. Now, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, right? So when I look at that word, I think, okay, what is that spirit? What is that spirit when Philip runs to the chariot? I believe it's exactly what we're saying here. It's a sensitive spirit. It's someone who was willing to, wanted to obey God immediately, but not only that, he was willing to run. You know what that means? You know what I sense in Philip? I sense an eagerness to follow the will of God for his life. And it was, by the way, it didn't start in the desert. I submit to you that this started back when Philip was chosen to be one of those first deacons in Acts chapter 7. There was something about Philip that was already there, that he wanted to obey God, and there was an eagerness to be in the will of God. He was eager to do the will of God. God had allowed Philip to have a part in something bigger than Philip. By the way, when you have and I have the opportunity to speak for Jesus, and by the way, every Christian should be speaking for Jesus Christ. We are his ambassadors. We are his mouthpiece. There are not angels going around letting people know about Jesus Christ. That's our job. That's our responsibility. That's our privilege. What a privilege it is to speak for the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip had been allowed of God to have a part in such an important responsibility. That important responsibility was what? To go to any and all. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. You know what? It's humbling that God would use any of us sinners to accomplish anything for his honor and glory, but he does. Let me give you one more thought underneath this last point. Number three, or letter C, excuse me. Letter C, it was for the soul winner. The soul winner. Our text shows us specifically that Philip was a soul winner who knew how to use God's word. Notice verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth. I think, you know what? That's probably a good admonition for many of us today. Oh, I'm just an introvert. I can't tell anybody about Jesus and blah, blah, blah. We make all these excuses. Look, that's what they are. They're excuses. This was someone who was obedient to the Holy Spirit of God, step by step, didn't question what God wanted him to do, and step by step, and then eventually it came to the place where he opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, okay, the scripture of in Isaiah, excuse me, the scripture in Isaiah, where the Ethiopian was reading, and preached unto him Jesus. Philip was able to take the piece of paper, the word of God in Isaiah, and he's able to take that, and he was able to preach Jesus Christ to the Ethiopian eunuch. I wonder if God sent someone across your path that was reading the Bible. You say, that'll never happen. Never say never. I remember knocking on a door years and years and years ago. I mean, I'm talking Anchor Baptist Church wasn't even a year old. And we knocked on the door. There, I had a Korean gentleman, and him and his wife were on their one, they had a one-month honeymoon. That'd be awesome. A one-month honeymoon. Kong and Lee were their names, and I wish I could find them. I wish I knew where they were. And God sent them here, and they were on a one-month honeymoon, and we met. And he was my soul-winning partner for that whole month while he was here. And we were out door knocking one day up in North Burnaby. We knocked on the door of a family, and they said, you know what? We were just now reading our Bible. Now, I didn't immediately think of the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, but I tell you what, I was shocked by that. I don't know. Maybe it had happened another time before that in my life. I don't know. But I know for sure I have one time that I can point at. I know there were many times where I met people that God was working on their life, and they had us in. Again, that hasn't happened a whole lot, even now or even since then. But they had us in, and we opened up the Word of God. And what did we do? We preached unto them Jesus Christ. And to God be the glory, that whole family was reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just within the last year, praise the Lord, I was able to run into one of their kids. I was at a funeral, but I was able to run into one of their kids, their son, and he's still going to church and still loves the Lord. Hey, you know what? You never know. You might meet somebody someday that's got their Bible out, and you know what? They might not understand what they're reading. Hey, Christian, are you able to take the Word of God and show somebody how to be saved? Are you able to take the Bible and go to the book of Romans or the book of John? Or are you able to take the Word of God and being filled with the Spirit of God and empowered by the Spirit of God, show someone how to be saved? You know what we're commanded to do in 2 Timothy chapter 2? We're commanded to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, I hope you can do that. God's word, as I said a moment ago, it has the power to change lives. Nothing I say can change a life. Oh, but the word of God can change lives. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, the entrance of thy words giveth what? It giveth light. It giveth light. Oh, what does this dark world need? It needs light. It needs the light that only the gospel can provide. It needs the light that only God's word can provide. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The Bible says that Philip opened his mouth. Isn't it about time that we as God's children open our mouth and talk more and talk less about Ottawa and less about politics and more about Jesus Christ? Isn't it about time that we as God's children open our mouth and not about not complaining about things, but instead preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? This whole series has been about different men and women of the Bible that exemplified portraits of grace. Within this story, it's a beautiful portrait of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice as we come to the close, the Bible says in verse number 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. The Ethiopian eunuch wanted to get baptized. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, the Ethiopian answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How could that Ethiopian eunuch get to a place in his life where he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You know how? Same way you could and same way I could. It's this, the grace of God. The grace of God. Everyone that is saved today on the face of this globe is a portrait of the grace of God. Now, Philip left a big city. Why? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what? Maybe you're listening right now and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you died today, do you know for sure that you would be in heaven? Or do you have some doubt about that? My friend, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father in heaven but by Jesus. Oh, if you're not saved right now, don't wait till the next service. Right now, humbly, go to your knees if you're able to. Close your eyes, bow your head, and just ask God to save you through His Son, Jesus Christ. Ask and ye shall receive. God sees your heart. Ask Him right now. You can be saved right now.